All right, we're going to go right into the Word of God here today. So I want to encourage you to take a Bible and go to James chapter 4, if you would. While you're turning there, let me encourage you that at the end of the service today, we want to encourage everybody to go out into the hub for our small group connection time. Now, all of our small group leaders are going to be out in the hub after the service, and this is your opportunity to get to know who the leaders are. I think there are 43 groups that we have at our church, middle school, high school, young adult, singles, men, women, retirees, widows, families, couples, all kinds of groups, and everybody should have received a small group connect guide when you walked in today. If you didn't receive one of those, let me see. How many did not receive a small group connect guide? Well, way to be. A lot of you did, all right? So make sure on your way out, you'll get one, and that will give you all the details about small groups. And so our small group quarter was supposed to begin this last Sunday, but due to weather, we didn't do that. So it will kick off a week from Sunday night. And so we would love everybody in our church to be part of a small group. How many of you are already part of a group, regularly attending? Great, that's awesome. And we'd like everybody to do that, and so help us out in being part of a small group. Okay, I want to begin this morning with a picture on the screen, something that I saw this week. This is a picture from a church in California. Yes, God is alive in California, apparently. This is a picture this past Monday night. I saw this on Instagram from a pastor that I follow. And this is their Monday night prayer meeting. And as you can tell, thousands of people are filling that auditorium praying and seeking the Lord. And guess what? They do this every Monday night to come together and pray. Now, last week I showed you a picture of a church in Alabama that had so many people show up for prayer, they had to set up a tent in the parking lot so that people could come pray at 6 o'clock in the morning. Pastor, why are you showing us all these pictures? Because I want you to know that God is not just speaking to us about coming closer to God, about drawing closer to Him. He is speaking to the body of Christ. He is speaking to all of us that it's time to get close to God. It's time to draw closer to Him. How many would agree that you would say, that is a witness to my spirit? I agree with you, Pastor. I hear God saying in my spirit, man, that we as a church and me as an individual, I need to get closer to God. Raise your hand real high. You agree with that, that this is a very important time. James chapter 4 talks about this. Verse 8, come close to God, and God will come close to you. So if we are going to be closer to God, the Bible makes it clear, it's up to us. It's our move. God has already made His move through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, it's up to us to draw close to God. And one of the ways that we draw close to God, we found out last week, is through prayer and fasting. Somebody sent me a testimony this past week. They said, I know we just started the fast, but every time my stomach growls, I think to myself, this is crazy. Why am I doing this? Any of you have similar thoughts this past week? Then today in the car, I had the radio on and a worship song came on. So I turned it up and started singing. And immediately I felt the presence of God so strong. I was reminded that fasting is one way that we draw close to God. And when we do that, He definitely draws close to us. My flesh just wants a piece of cake or a cookie or anything sweet. Is that witness to anybody? That's what I thought. But to have God's presence so close and to feel it so quickly is much sweeter by far. Yesterday in our prayer time, several people shared how God was moving in their life. Many of them have already seen what they wrote down. God has already answered their prayers. And so fasting and prayer is a definite way to come closer to God, to draw closer to God. But how many know you can't fast every day of your life? If you do, you would die. So there is another way that we can draw close to God. And that's what I want to talk about just for a few minutes here today. I want to talk about drawing closer to God through a consistent quiet time with God, drawing close to God through a consistent quiet time. Now, what is a quiet time with God? It's a daily appointment with God, personal devotion, some people call it. You know, at camp, they call them devos. We're talking about developing the habit, the regular habit of meeting with God face to face. Patrick Morley wrote it this way. He says, whenever a man tells me that he doesn't feel very close to God, the first question I ask is, tell me about your devotional life. Often, the problem is right there. Now, let me stop right there and say for a second, Pastor, this seems so elementary. Why in the world would you be talking about this on a Sunday morning? During a time of fasting and prayer, shouldn't you be spitting and screaming and preaching victory and miracles? Yeah, absolutely. There's a time for that. But you know what? I sense God is saying to me that we need to draw closer to God more than just 21 days. And when this time of fasting and prayer is over, that our closeness to God won't fade away. And we'll be in July saying, boy, wasn't that good back in January? Wasn't, no. We want to use this as a propel. Is that a word? I'm struggling with grammar today. To propel us forward into a new level of our walk with God. And one of the ways to do that is developing this habit of a quiet time with God. A quiet time is simply being intentional about having a conversation with God. This usually means listening for God's voice by reading the Bible and speaking to God through prayer. So a quiet time is just making time in our life. I'm going to read God's word and I'm going to pray. Whatever that looks like, however long that is, the reality is that all of us need that in our lives. Greg Ogden wrote a book called Discipleship. He says a daily quiet time is a private meeting each day between a disciple and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, Jesus said, go and make disciples. He did not say, go and make churchgoers. And he definitely did not say, go and make consumers of religious goods and services. A daily quiet time is a private meeting each day between a disciple and the Lord Jesus Christ. It should not be impromptu. We can commune with the Lord on a spur of the moment basis many times each day, but a quiet time is a period of time we set aside in advance for the sole purpose of a personal meeting with our Savior and Lord. Here's the big idea of today's message. It's very, very simple. If you have a regular and consistent time with God, you will be closer to God. Oh, how deep is that? Oh, wow, we're getting in deep waters here today. If you have a consistent, regular time with God, guess what's going to happen? You're going to draw close to God. You're going to feel close to God. You're going to hear His voice. You're going to hear Him speaking to you. He's going to give you direction, and you're going to know that He's alive because you talked to Him this morning. Amen? That's God's heart for us. Now, why is this such a big deal, and why is it so important? Why do we need to do all of this? Let me give you just a few reasons, and I would encourage you to write these down as much as possible. Number one, the reason this is important is because we were created to have fellowship with God. We were created to have fellowship with God. It's why you were born. Everybody wrestles with the question, why was I born? What is my purpose in life? Why did God make me? Let me answer your question. God created you to have fellowship with Him. God created you for Himself so that He could talk to you and you could talk to Him. That's why we don't call Christianity a religion. We call it a relationship. A religion is following a set of rules, a prescribed set of rules. And if I follow the rules, I go to heaven. And if I break the rules, I'm in trouble. Can I tell you, that's the vast majority of all religions in the world. But that is not God the Father. God wants to establish a relationship with us. He wants to spend time with us. He is not some God who's far away. The Bible says He has brought us near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Did you know that we are the only creatures in all creation that have the capacity to have fellowship with our Creator? Let me say that again. You are the only creatures that's ever made by God that have the capacity to have fellowship with God. God has called us to have fellowship with Him. How many know it all started with Adam, right? God created Adam to have that fellowship perfectly with God in the garden before the fall. The scripture says that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. Adam and God were friends. He talked to him, Adam talked to God, God talked to Adam, and then something very stupid happened. They sinned. You know what happened when they sinned? The Bible says there was a wall that became between Adam and God because God is holy, right? And sin is not holy. And so there became this wall between us. And so, listen, it's our purpose. It's why we were born to have fellowship with God. So don't you ever settle for a religion based on rules. Even if it comes in the veil of Christianity, you follow a relationship with God. Here's the second reason why this is so important. Jesus Christ died on the cross so fellowship with God could be restored. That's the reason he died, is so that God could have fellowship with you. When Adam sinned, fellowship was broken. The wall came between you and God. So let's use this as an example. You're God and I'm not. I thought about switching it around and I'm like, no, I'll take all the burden. I'll do that for you here today. Okay, I'm the sinner. I'm Adam. And guess what? I'm Adam's son. We're all Adam's son. And because of Adam's sin, we all have this nature to sin. God is not sinful. God is holy. He's out there. So what's between me and God is this wall of separation. I can't get to God, and God can't get to me. And so there's this broken fellowship, this broken relationship. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. God considered his relationship with you important enough to send his son into the world to die for our sins so that the wall could be removed and we could have fellowship and we could have a relationship and God could be our father. Are you getting this today? It's the reason Jesus died. Now listen, I want you to write this down somewhere. I think this is so important. Write this down somewhere. To neglect time with God is to reject the reason Jesus died. To neglect time with God is to reject the reason Jesus died. Jesus did not just die so that you could get a get out of hell free card, so that you could pray a prayer, check the box, I'm in like Flynn. Jesus died so that you could be that far off prodigal son and come back to your heavenly father and he could put a robe on you and he could put his arms around you and he can run to you and you can have this fellowship. That's the heart of God. He's your father. Jesus is our example of this, right? When Jesus was here on the earth, the Bible says in Luke chapter 5 verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. When Jesus was here on the earth, the Bible makes it clear multiple times through the Gospels that Jesus would remove himself to a quiet place. We would say it's a quiet time for Jesus. Now, before we get all legalistic and we think, well, this is a burden. Oh, this is, you know, it's not a joy. You know, it's just such a duty. I want to encourage you. Can we go back to that picture of Jesus real quick? I want to encourage you. When Jesus was separating himself to talk to God, he was talking to his dad. Put yourself in Jesus' shoes for a few minutes. He's here on the earth. He came to die. He's trying to explain to his disciples and all these people through parables what's going to happen, that, hey, I'm going to die. I'm going to leave you. No, Peter, no, you're not, blah, 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 you know, and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus, how many times must Jesus have been frustrated? So he goes to his dad. He just gets away. And look, and even Jesus taught his disciples to pray this way. Our Father. Father. Dad. They don't understand. They have no idea. But God, I pray for them. Now listen, it's the same way with us. Sometimes we're so formal about this, we forget. It's just a conversation between you and your dad. It's just a conversation between the one who made you and the one who loves you. And someone says, well, that person prays really well, and that person really stinks at prayer. You know, the reality is, I don't believe that matters that much to God. He just wants to talk to his sons and to his daughters. He just wants to spend time with you. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to use flowery words. You don't even have to pray in the King James. Just talk however you talk. And God will meet you there. How many are hearing me today? Here's the third reason why this is so important. It's the only way to grow up and be strong spiritually. Regular time with God is the only way we're going to grow up. Everybody say grow up and be strong spiritually. Having a quiet time with God on a regular basis is not just a nice suggestion. It's not just something Christians should do. It is vitally necessary for the purposes which we were created. And it is absolutely essential for Christian growth and maturity. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. one of the greatest needs in the body of Christ in America is we just need to grow up. Too many believers in Jesus are still walking around with their thumb in their mouth. You know, I'm going to tell you what, a lot of pastors, they just have this giant nursery. You know, all pastors are on nursery duty. Babies, babies. It's all right to be a baby for a while, but you got to grow up. And I'm going to tell you, the only way you're going to grow up is if you learn to feed yourself. One, the vision of our church is that people will grow up to spiritual maturity. We call them self-feeding Christians. I no longer need a bottle or somebody to spoon feed me baby food. I can actually prepare my own food. I can actually. Do you love my sound effects? Isn't it great? I'm preaching about food while we're fasting. It's awesome. Have you ever gone without food for a day? That's a dumb question. On day 7 of a fast, how do you feel? You know, when you haven't gone, when you've gone without food for a day, you get kind of shaky. You know, so much sugar, we're so sugarfied. That's a great word. Sugarfied in our American culture. We don't eat sugar. We get headaches and we start to get, you know, we get faint. And you know what? If you keep doing that for a long time, you'll get weaker and weaker. That's why all fasts should have an end. Can I get a witness in the house of God? You can't do this forever. Because if you never ate ever, you would eventually grow weak. You would get sick. And what would happen to you? You would die. Can I tell you that that's the way a lot of people in the church are living their lives? They don't eat very often. Well, you know, or they eat once a week when they come to church. Well, pastor's got a great meal for us today. Hey, that's great. That's one of the reasons to come to church is to get fed. But listen, if you're relying on me solely to get fed, something's wrong with you. Please, here's free. There's liberty in this second service today. I don't know why. Don't ever come and tell me, well, I'm leaving Grace Assembly of God because I'm not getting fed. I'm going to tell you what. That's not my job. Yeah. That's not my job. Now, you know what you're confessing? You're confessing you eat once a week. That's a lot of pressure on a pastor. I got to give you enough to last the whole stinking week. Who wants to live? By the way, if you tried to pack it on for a week, that would hurt. Spurgeon said this, if we're weak in communion with God, we're weak everywhere. I saw this on Twitter this week. It was a retweet from In Touch Ministries. Prayerlessness is a sure sign that you're on the road to spiritual defeat. Let's be honest, too many Christians are sickly spiritually. They're weak spiritually, and they are defeated spiritually. And one of the main reasons why is because we're not eating. Or we're eating very, you know, I come to church once a week. Some of you come less than that. You're eating less than that. Is it any wonder why when the attack comes, you don't have any strength? When the fight's on, you give in. When the temptations come, you fall every time. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching now. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. What are you talking about eating then, Pastor? I'm talking about this book. This book is your food, all right? This is your spiritual nourishment. Job says in Job 23 verse 12, I have treasured his words more than daily food. Jesus quotes the Old Testament when he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? The word of God, the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. Peter called the scriptures nourishing milk, and the writer of Hebrews thought the word of God as solid food. This is your food. If you don't read this, you're not eating. You won't survive. That's why one of the first things we tell people who are new to following Christ, who give their hearts to the Lord, this is your new best friend. This is how you grow. Read the book. Start with the book of John. Somebody asked me this question. They're new in the Lord. Where do I read? Start with the book of John. Then go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then read the book of Ephesians. And after you do that, then read the whole New Testament. And then just get in the habit. Well, I've already did that, that person said. Well, read it again. Well, it's like somebody saying, I ate yesterday. Why do I need to eat again? Because I'm hungry. That's deep stuff. Now listen, here's what you can conclude if you're not having a regular time with God. If that's not happening in your life, you can be assured that you will never be used by God in a great way. You will remain a sick and weak Christian all your life. And you're missing out on the privilege that God created you for. You're rejecting the reason for which Christ died. And you will never experience the power that God wants to have you to have through his son, Jesus Christ. Well, it's getting awfully serious in here, so let me help you out. Anybody own one of these? Let me see all the iPhones. Stop looking at it and look up here now. All right. I got you. All right. Hold up your phone if you got one in your purse or whatever. Hold it up. Everybody. How many people own an iPhone? Hold it up. Or smartphone or something. You know, we are iPhone-ified. We are smartphone-ified. Sugar-fied, iPhone-ified. Oh, we got waivers there with lights. We are the world. We are the children. All right. Now, most of us use this every day. It's the way we stay connected. It's the way we communicate. All this week, I've been reading my Bible on it. Hey, what about that? YouVersion, download it. It's free. Okay, just that was totally free. I'm reading the Bible on my phone. That's awesome. This is the way I communicate mostly with my family. Like yesterday, I actually texted Elliot upstairs, come down, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he's like, Dad, really? He's chiding me. Anyway, but how many know this thing right here is no good without this thing right here, right? These things are worth a lot of money at my house. These are very valuable. They walk away. It's amazing. Some of them end up in the dryer. I won't tell who did that, but I found it there. You know, these things, you know, well, I got to go. I got to take my charger with me. Well, I've only got 1%. Well, I only got 5%. I'm not sure how to do. This can have all the capacity. It can have 100,000 gigabytes of memory. It can do the most amazing things, but I'm going to tell you what. If it doesn't have a source of power, it is useless. You and I have all kinds of capacity. You and I have all kinds of amazing abilities because God's given them to us. But if we don't connect with God, if we don't plug in by spending time with God, our spirit man is going to be dead. There will be no recharging of our batteries. We'll be walking around like zombies, dead men. Yeah, yeah, go to church. Blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden it becomes a religion instead of a relationship. I'm talking about spending time with God so that I can grow, so that I can be strong in the Lord. On a number of occasions, Jesus invited his disciples to come apart with him for a while. That's what the King James says, to come apart for a while, so that they could recuperate physically and spiritually. Vance Havner said about this, if you don't come apart periodically with God, you will literally come apart. The more time we spend with God, the stronger we are, and this is the part I love, the more time I spend with God, the more I become like him. Now give me 5 more minutes, don't let me lose you, stay with me. The more time I spend with God, the more I become like God. And how many know that's the goal? Once I'm saved, once I've found Jesus, once I've put my faith in Jesus Christ to save me, what do I do now? Now you're on a journey. Listen to me. Now you're on a journey of becoming like God. Here it is in the scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren and sisters. For those God foreknew, he predestined. So God knows everything. He knows the end and the beginning at the same time. He knows that the Colts are going to win tonight. Can I get a witness in the house of God? Coming against that evil spirit from New England. Come on. Come on, somebody. I'm just saying. If you wear your Patriots gear to prayer meeting, it's going to hinder your prayers. I'm just telling you. Because I love you. I'm just having fun here. God knows everything. And the Bible says he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. The reason we were created is so that we could become like Jesus. So once I enter into the walls gone, okay, now I'm in the family of God. Now what do I do? It's called being a disciple, a learner, a follower of Jesus. Now I'm being conformed. I'm being changed to be like him. How does that happen? A regular, quiet time with God, talking to him, listening to him, reading his book, and praying. Am I in the right place here today? So how do I become like Jesus? I get closer to him. I spend time with him. And you know what happens? Pastor Tim was sharing this earlier this week in one of our prayer times, that the closer I get to God, the cleaner I become. He was sharing from Isaiah, how Isaiah had this encounter with God. And one of the things that happened was an angel came and put coal on his lips and cleansed his lips. That's what happens when we get close to God. We become more holy. We get cleaner. I heard one author say it this way. If you want to kick the sin habit, you got to develop a prayer habit. So the closer I get to God, the more I become like him. I become more loving because God is love. I become more patient because God is patient. I become more kind because God is kind. I have more joy in my life because God is a God of joy. Pastor, that sounds like the fruit of the Spirit. That's right. You're getting it. Because the more I'm connected to the vine, Christ Jesus, the more his life is flowing into me, and I am now becoming like him. I don't have to stand afar from him. I want to be like you. I got to try to be like you. No, I connect to him with my charger, and that juice is flowing into me, and now I begin to look like him. It's called love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. Are you getting all this? Now imagine what would happen if all of us were becoming more like Christ. It might affect your relationships. I'm talking to all those of you, you know, a lot of times when people come to us for counseling or encouragement, you know, for a lot of reasons, and there's a lot of times that that's necessary, but one of the first questions I'll always ask, how's your walk with God? And can I tell you, the majority of the time, come on somebody, the majority of the time, they'll tell me, it's not very good. How are you spending time with God? Not really. Now I know it sounds Sunday school. It sounds hyper spiritual. I don't know what it sounds like. All I know is it works. If I draw closer to God, I'm a better husband. If I draw closer to God, I'm a better dad. Come on, somebody. If you're experiencing difficulties at your house, the issue is you. This has turned into a counseling session. Can you see that? And if you will simply begin the habit of drawing close to God, spending time with God, it'll begin to change who you are. It'll change your house. It'll change your marriage. I didn't say you'll be perfect, but you will be conforming to the image of his son. You know, ladies, if you were married to Jesus, guys, if your dad was Jesus, if your brother was Jesus, he would be a good family member. So why not become like Jesus? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. We're talking about putting your relationship with God first, and the Bible's saying everything else will take care of itself. That's why I'm telling you as your pastor, this is the one thing I want for you more than anything else in 2015. I don't wish for you to have millions of dollars in the bank, because that will go away. I don't wish for you to have supernatural miracles in your life alone, because you'll eventually die anyway. But I wish for you, above all else, that you and me would simply begin to build this daily habit of spending time with God. Because you know what will happen? We will become conformed to Jesus Christ. We will fulfill the purposes for which we were created. And how many know we'll begin to change? The church will begin to change and good things will happen. But it doesn't happen overnight, does it? The change is gradual. But as we keep up with consistent time, it's going to change. It's like the guy who goes to the gym. He makes a New Year's resolution. I'm gonna get in shape. January 2015, I'm going to get in shape. He goes to work out. He comes home. Honey, did you notice anything? the definition, the lines. Answers, how many times you worked out? Once. Now you may feel it, but nobody's going to see it for a while. But if you keep it up over time, people will start to notice a difference in you. It's the same way in your walk with God. Oh, I'm going to go have time with God. That's great. And you'll feel it because God will meet you there. But when you know what's going to happen over time? If you do it and you do it, you do it. 3 months from now, you'll look different. 6 months from now, you'll act different. 9 months from now, you'll be different. Come on. It's really simple. David Jones shared something with us in our review meeting this past week that was so awesome. I'm going to jump a little ahead a little bit. A pastor friend of his said this, spiritual maturity is the consistent application of elementary principles. It really is simple. This thing is not hard whatsoever. It's something that we can all do. Spiritual maturity is the consistent application of elementary principles. It's about being consistent. So if it's so important, how do we do it? Let me give you a few tips on how to build this habit into your life, because it's not just enough to say you got to do it, but let me explain to you how to do it. How do I begin to build this habit into my life? What does it look like? Write this down. Number one, pick a place. Pick a place for your time with God, your daily meeting with God. So ask yourself, where is the best place for me to meet with God? Now, for some of you, it's your kitchen table. That's the best place. Others of you, it's a bedroom. Some place, it might be an office or it might be a break room somewhere. But there needs to be a place. That's your place. That's where you meet with God. And I want you to take 30 seconds and there on your notes or somewhere, I want you to write down, what is the best place for me to meet with God? And it doesn't mean that you're already doing it, but I think this could be the best place for me to meet with God. Because if you don't write something down, you're not going to do it. All right, so I'm trying to provoke you and encourage you a little bit. Take 30 seconds, write something down. This is the best place for me to meet with God. The second thing to help you build a habit of meeting with God is to pick a time. Everybody say time. In order to build a habit of a daily time with God, it's best to pick a certain time each day. And it's your appointment. It's the appointment that you keep. Put it on your phone. Put it on your calendar. Whatever you need to do. This is the time I meet with God. This is the time I talk to God. Some of you may have to get up in the morning. That's your best time. Maybe you get up 15 minutes earlier or 30 minutes earlier and you give that time to God. For some of you, it's lunchtime at work or wherever you go. Maybe you give that time to the Lord. Maybe it's a break time, morning or afternoon or whatever time you work. Maybe instead of going hanging out with everybody or playing euchre like we did in high school, my job, whatever, you know, you go open the Bible, read it. Talk to God. Whatever time that is. Some of you, it's right after you get home from work. Sometime, for some of you, it's right before you go to bed. You know, if you just started following Jesus, you know, don't worry about the amount of time. Just start doing it. If it's 10 or 15 minutes, that's a great start. At least you're starting. If you've been serving God for a while, you probably should be building on that, right? But don't get hung up on the time. Just make sure you are doing it. Here's the third thing. You need to pick a plan. You got to have a strategy for reading the Bible, because reality, we all get excited about this and we start reading and we go, okay, but how do I stay the course? How do I stay in this? You know, do I just open the Bible? Okay, I'm reading from, boo, I don't understand that. That opened the book of Joel. You got to have a better strategy than that. So one of the things that we have done here at our church is we have Bible reading plans that we'd like to give to you. On your way out today in the hub, this is 2015 Bible reading plans. Pastor Ed put this together, and it's filled with a bunch of different ways to read the Bible. 21 days, 30 days, reading Proverbs, you know, reading through the Bible in a year. We always put that schedule in the bulletin, reading through the Bible in a year. This will help you in your Bible reading plans. Those of you that have the YouVersion app on your phone or iPad or tablet, there's tons of different strategies. So pick a plan. And now another way to do this is we have created for you this resource called a prayer book. Last year, as I was praying one day, I just felt like God challenged me to do this and put this resource together. And what it is, it's just, there's about 12 or 15 prayer models to learn how to pray. using scripture, using the Lord's Prayer, using the tabernacle, using Old Testament scriptures. It's just different ways to pray. There are ways to pray for your family. There are ways to pray for your lost loved ones, your neighbors, your friends, how to pray for all kinds, different kinds of things. And so maybe what you want to do on Mondays, I pray the prayer of Jabez. Or Tuesdays, I pray the tabernacle pattern of prayer. And you know, on Fridays, I pray, you know, when all the Muslims are praying on Friday, I'm praying for the peace of Jerusalem on Friday. I don't know. I'm telling you, that's one way to build your prayer life, is to have a plan. These are for sale out in the hub. They're $5. It just covers expenses, but that could help you learn how to pray. Another great way to build prayer into your life is to be part of one of our corporate prayer times. We pray every Tuesday at 6:30 after the fast is over, every Tuesday at 6:30, Saturday mornings at 6:30, Sunday mornings at 8:15. That's one way. Just put it in your schedule. I'm just going to go pray. That'll help you learn how to pray. Now, how many are here today and you would say, you know what, Pastor, you're right. We need to get closer to God. I need to get closer to God. And this is definitely one of the ways that God has created to do it. Is that right? If you agree with that, then I want you to take a few moments. We're going to sing this song. We're going to take a few moments. Then Jason's going to come receive our offering. And then we're going to tell you our video announcements. And then we're going to go do the small group connect thing. But I want you to take a few moments here. And let's have a little bit of quiet time. And if you haven't filled out yet that place and that time and that plan, would you do that and just listen to God and allow His Holy Spirit to speak to you about what you're going to do to move forward in your relationship with God, to draw closer to Him.